Praise the Lord. Can I just give a little exhortation? Can I prophesy? Amen. Sorry, some people, they leave their house 12 o'clock. Some people are still on the way coming. I bet. How many of us here now, you're coming here, today is your first time. Your first time of worshiping with us. Can you wave your hands? Can you stand up, let us see you? Just stand up, let us see you. For the first time, can we put our hands together for our God? For the first time. Now, anybody around them, if you have the Holy Ghost, shake them and tell them something. Prophesy to them. If you don't have Holy Ghost, don't touch them.
Do not doubt what you are told in the land. For the Lord who has called you,
God bless you.
Never fail at all. Do not doubt what you are told in the land. For the Lord who has called you, God never fail at all.
God bless you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When you come here like this, amen. When you come to a church like this, there's something I always like to remind us about. We are not, this church is not an interdenominational church. It is not an interdenominational church. And that is why some of you don't understand us when we preach and we mention the name of your church. You'll be angry. Because you expect that it is interdenominational. No, we are not an interdenominational ministry. We are instead a non-denominational church. And today, I want to tell you why we are not a denomination. Why we are not a denomination. Praise the Lord. Why we are not a denomination. What is a denomination? A denomination. Denomination means division. The Church of Jesus Christ was never denominated when it started. It was one church. Hallelujah. And there was no Apostle Paul church, Peter's church, John's church. There was nothing like that. Apollo's church. There was nothing like that. But this thing started from somewhere. Praise the Lord. It started from somewhere. It is the devil that caused it. There is power in unity. When the devil wants to scatter any ministry that is on fire, the first thing he will do is to cause disaffection, grumbling, fighting, you know, so that once they are not united, they can never have power. Then he can enter and be fellowshipping with them. And that is why the church has lost its power. Lost its power. Christians now are afraid of Shirai. Christians are afraid of Shirai. Praise the Lord. How can a Christian be afraid of a shrine? There is one shrine in Calabar, in Akwaibo. Calabar. That a sister sent me, you know, forwarded a text that with a number threatening, they've reported her to that shrine, and the threat was serious. Whatever happened, if you don't come by so date, and this and that, and the person paid the fee to carry the matter to that place is 28,000 naira. The person had paid the money. And you should contact so number immediately. If not, so forwarded the text to me, so I called the number. And the person answered me is the chief priest of the shrine. That was earlier in the day today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And when I called, I said, I mentioned the name of the sister. She's here now. I just saw them this evening. I said, I am Pastor so. I'm Pastor Moses Alu. And I use the language they will understand. I say, I am the general overseer of the church of that sister. I say, I saw the text that was sent to her, was forwarded to me. And that's why I am calling. Then he quickly introduced himself. I said, yes, it's not concerning your shrine I am calling. I said, you know we are Christians and we are not afraid of any shrine. Praise the Lord. I say, we are not afraid of any shrine. I say, you know I have an altar. I said that when the time comes that we have to show which altar is greater, I say, you will know. I said, but why I'm calling you is to let you know that the person that sent that text is stupid, is foolish. I quickly said, the person that sent that text, I said, the text is threatening the life of that girl. We are keeping the text. If anything happened to that girl, we will hold that person responsible. That's all. Well, I'm told this evening that the person that, whoever it is, that the shrine, the brother of the sister, they are all afraid in the family. Called the chief priest to find out how far about the matter. He said, he told him that that girl's pastor called him and that he washed his hand away from the matter. Praise the Lord. Now that's not the first time. There's one young girl here that was on fire some years back. Some of you know her. That they went to the uncle, came to, they sent elders from the village, the chief priests, they sent elders to the village, that girl was the next person that was the person appointed to serve that shrine. And they came with an emissary delegation to the uncle of the sister that she was staying with. And the man was saying, we are now Christian. Those people say, if you don't release this girl, anything that happened to you. And then he was scared and said, okay. The girl was hearing them the next morning. She took off, ran to the church. They looked for her. They didn't see her. And then she came to me. I said, the shrine wants you. And Jesus wants you. Praise the Lord. So I took our letterheaded paper. I wrote to the chief priest of, that's the address, the chief priest of the shrine that is looking for so sister. I said, this young girl now belongs to Jesus. she has nothing to do with you anymore. So go and look for another person. Praise the Lord. She has no agreement with you anymore. And I said, if that shrine is a real shrine, a true shrine, give her this letter. Maybe it's a fake shrine. They will ignore my letter. That means they are fake. Every demon knows who is who. Praise the Lord. And they took the letter, they gave it to the man. The man gladly was pushing it up. I released her. Now pastor, her pastor said she should not go. And then the story goes, when they took the letter, say the man's pastor, the girl's pastor said we should give you the high priest. He said, he collected the letter and said, pastor, which pastor? You didn't come with her. And tore the letter. Didn't read it. As soon as he tore it, and we had it, immediately, the man, you know, felt stroke. Immediately. Immediately he was paralyzed. We all, those old members, they know about it. And the next day, I think about three of them or so died. In that their group that had that meeting, three of them died. Then the others had to rush back to Lagos here, begging that their hands are off. They release the girl. Their hands are off. Now, why I'm giving this story is, where is that boldness now? Christians are afraid because the power that should be in our midst is no more because of disunity. These days now, are you a Christian? The first thing you hear him say is, I am redeemed. Praise the Lord. There was a text that was sent out to our members. Somebody replied, receive it. He said, why are you people sending me this text? I am a choosing. Stop sending me this type of useless text. So I called the number. The text was forwarded to me. So I called the number. I said, hello, I saw your text. I said, oh, the text was meant for Christians. We were sending the text to Christians. We didn't know that you are not a Christian, but you are a choosing. Praise the Lord. People are more interested in identifying with their church than identifying with Christ. The binding force that should bind us together is no more there. If you are not a member of my church, you are not my brother. You see what the devil has done? That is the evil in denominationalism. And no true Christian would like to be a denominational Christian. That's why I say we are not a denomination. We are a non-denominational church. And when you come here, there are certain things you will see in your denominations that you will not see here. Watch very well. You will see the uniqueness, what it is that stands us out, that gives us our own identity. Praise the Lord. But now watch it. Whatever is happening in Christianity has not taken God by surprise. When serpent tempted Eve, a man fell, did it take God by surprise? No. He knows all things. He knows tomorrow from today. Amen. God knew that the time is going to come when the church will be reduced to the estate that we are in now. Did he know it? Oh no, he didn't know. He knew it. Praise the Lord. How do I know he knows it? You read the story. See, you see, that is why I say, let me say something tonight in a few minutes that will help somebody listening to us for the first time to understand the process of redemption. A lot of us just take off and go to church. Praise the Lord. just take off. All you are satisfied with is that you are a church member somewhere. And you know nothing beyond, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. You know, some people do that and think they have prayed. Praise the Lord. And Christianity is more than living a life of holiness. It's deeper than that. Holiness is part of it, but it's deeper than that. Because there are people that are not Christians, and yet they live very chaste life lifestyle. They will not steal, they will not drink, they will not fornicate. Fasting, they fast more than Christians fast. And yet they are not Christians. So that's why I say it's deeper than that. Praise the Lord. And one thing I want you people to know, Christians all over the world, know it, that the process of redemption, God has, you know, hidden it in a mystery. And anything that is a mystery, I told you people, I said that there is one among the things that I describe God. Among the things I describe God, I call him the great encoder and the great decoder of the mystery of life. He has encoded the mystery. And unless he decodes it for you, you will only be a religious person. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Concerning salvation, let's do some reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, for instance. Are we there? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me read it from verse 6. This is the way Apostle Paul put it. How be it? We speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Somebody shout mystery. Say it very loud. Mystery. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That is the great decoder. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. He said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see? It is in a mystery. Salvation is a mystery. That is why, imagine, how will you, have you sat down to just meditate on this? The great eternal Spirit came and walked among men, and they didn't know him. The creator of the heavens and the earth came in our midst. Walked, he ate with us. Oh, glory be to God. They were beating him. They nailed him on the cross. Until they say, if you say you be son of God, oh yeah, save yourself now. You do miracle, you can open the blind. Now see you crying. And they didn't know that even part of that cry, part of that hanging on the cross, hallelujah, was something that the wisdom that he used to save you and I. See? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why I say, once you have become a Christian, some rush to go and get anointing. No, your priority is not go and get anointing. Your priority is to know who is this God. That's the first thing. Know Him. And it is your Christian life is determined by your knowledge of that God. When you see a man that does not fear God, it's because he doesn't know Him. You can't study God and not fear Him. You can't know Him and not fear Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He has a Lord that changeth not. I think I said it last week. He is the Lord that changeth not. You can see them, they dance. You are the Lord that changeth not. And fornicators, they dance. Hey, you are the Lord that changeth not. Do you know the meaning of that statement? Amen. You don't know the meaning of that statement. Praise the Lord. In the wilderness, his own very children, in the feast of Bible, they went and committed fornication. One day, God killed 24,000 of them. In the wilderness, because of fornication. You are the Lord that changes not. And the fornicator, you are not afraid that your own death is coming. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday. If he killed fornicator yesterday, what makes you think that he will not kill you today if you commit fornication? It's because you don't know him. That's why I say you will fear him if you know him. Praise God. Homosexuals, those of us who know this God, as story is going all around the world, how gay, you know, and all these lesbians and all these things, you know, they are gaining ground, they are becoming more popular, until how many nations now, the European nations, how many of them have passed legislation legalizing it? Man can marry man, woman can marry woman, no problem. Now, why people are reading it and seeing it as just, you know, latest news, those of us that are spiritual, we are seeing that the time for judgment is coming nearer. Fear, they catch us. See where this world is reaching. Hey, evidence, sign that this world will soon finish. Why? That was the condition of Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed them. What makes you think the same condition will come now and he will overlook it? It's the Lord that changeth not. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, when you call upon him, he answers. So we just look at the blessing side. We don't look at the judgment side. He doesn't change when it comes to the condition for blessings. The same thing too, he doesn't change when it comes to judgment. That's why you must fear him. But the reason we don't fear is because who he is, how he operates with man, he hid them all in a mystery. He hid them all in a mystery. Praise the Lord. And everybody, you know, everybody, I'm a Christian, and then I'm full of anointing. Some carry their own anointing in their hand. Are you ready? Take it. Everybody around there. I saw somebody who removed his coat. When he touched you like this, you must fall. He do like this, everybody go fall. And then they were making, you know. And everybody is looking at him and saying, powerful man of God. There is one that does deliverance. If he do like this, the person will go. If he do like this, the person will go. If he give you tackle, you go fall down. I watched it. I've seen it. We thank God for the anointing. We thank God for the anointing. But there is something that Jesus Christ told them despite that anointing. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. This is the way he put it. Luke In Luke chapter 10, Jesus Christ sent 70 of his disciples, gave them power, hallelujah, hallelujah, to tread upon serpents and scorpions and cast out devils. And they went with that anointing, went everywhere, and you can imagine how excited they will be. Now they came back, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, Jesus Christ said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, if you study that verse very well, it's very difficult to link it to understand. Let me make you understand. They are telling him that, Master, come and see our demons, they scream. When we call your name like this, they will tumble. Hey, see anointing today. We scatter down today. And then he looked at them. He said, hey, I beheld Satan as lightning falling down. Why will he use that to answer them? The subsequent verses make it clearer. Because he's looking at you. See them, they are rejoicing with anointing. When I want anointing, reach Satan. Oh. That's what he's telling them. Satan was also rejoicing with that same kind of anointing. But where is he today? That's what he was telling them. Now the next verse. He said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Verse 20 is my emphasis. He said, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. But rejoice rather, because your names are written in heaven. See the way he put it? He said, so we should learn something from there. So, Oga pastor, Oga preacher, Oga prophet, Oga evangelist, Oga GO, Oga reverend doctor prophet, listen, your pride as a Christian should not be the anointing that you are operating, but your pride should be that you are sure that your name is written in heaven. Why did he say so? 70 of them were following him. But by the time you come to John chapter 6, when he began to expose the reason why he came to the earth, what happened? All of them left. Remember that among those who were saying, Kai, okay, Jesus, see what your name was doing today, Judas was among. And he saw Judas jumping up, speaking in tongue maybe, and then, hey, vibrating. Hey, Master, when are we going for the next crusade? And Jesus looked at a son of perdition. Knows where you are going to end. See, the next verse, see what he said. See the prayer he prayed to the Father. See the prayer he prayed to the Father. Verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You see? Because when it comes to salvation, it's not everybody that God has granted such understanding. It's not everybody. Praise the Lord. And so that, why was Jesus Christ always speaking in parables? In my teaching of the doctrine of the serpent seed, there was a statement that I made, if some of you can remember, that I said, watch the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Every time, every teaching, every statement, everything that has to do with salvation. The deep things of salvation, God himself will speak it in parables. Amen. The sin that took place in the Garden of Eden, the beginning of Satan entering into human beings and the human race, is in the book of Genesis. What happened that reduced us to this estate that we are in today? All he said is, he said, they ate of the fruit of a tree. He didn't explain it further. He left it there. So it's left for all of us. Which tree they chop? So when they look around. One fruit that so many people like to eat na apple. Maybe na that apple na they chop. Praise the Lord. And then there are churches that are teaching that the fruit they ate in the Garden of Eden was apple. And they believe it. Praise the Lord. Our eyes of understanding he has opened up at last. As victory is ours, we are chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God. Who's the original? Oh, the original. The original world. He's what I believe.
The Son of Man.
The Son of Man. Our eyes have been opened. Praise the Lord. He's the Lord, he changed it not. If na apple they chop that time, and God was angry, if you chop apple now, it will still become sin. And the thing where they chop for Garden of Eden, where God hate, they see the chopper now. And God still hates it. Praise God. Not be apple. Then they chop. Some people when they chop and they hear me now. Up to now. Praise the Lord. And when it comes to the end of Satan and the end of all program of God, as far as salvation is concerned, the book of Revelation, God made sure everything there is in symbols. It was handwriting on the wall. It was a sign.
Once you are saved, forever you are saved.
Everything we receive from God is by faith.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Spirit of delusion. They told you it doesn't matter. It matters.
There is yet another day that is His mercy still available.
The trials of the Christian.
Christians face trials.
The God of this world cannot be our God, because we are in this world, but not of this world. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When he finished speaking parables to all those people outside in the crusade, leave them confused. Then he will come to his disciples. Praise the Lord. Go and preach to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28 verse 19. Hallelujah. patient to observe all things whatsoever I have told you. Lo, I am with you to the end. And that was all he gave. And it was written down. But when they are alone, because every Christian is holding on to that as the great commission to go to the world and preach, and that's why they are baptized. Amen. But the proper understanding of that, he didn't tell them. It was the disciples he came and told them, I hope you know the name of the Father. Praise the Lord. Because in John chapter 14, Philip asked him, show us the Father and we shall be satisfied. And then he looked at Philip and said, have I been so long with you, Philip, and you still don't know me? Have I not told you if you see me, you see the Father? Why are you asking me again to show you the Father? I and my Father, we are one. Praise the Lord. Did you see Philip ask any question again? Philip understood it. That's why Philip baptized in Acts chapter 8 in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, church. When he is alone with his disciples, he will now begin to give them explanation of the meaning of those parables that he spoke in the crusade. So we have two groups of people. Yes, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you pick that scripture alone, you will think that everybody should be saved. But everybody cannot be saved. If everybody will be saved, then why does he speak in parables? Then he will come to another group and explain to them. That makes him partial, isn't it? No, it's true. Praise the Lord. So he has left others to use their own sense to interpret his parable. But he comes to his own group of his disciples and gives them the true meaning of the parable. Praise the Lord. That is the reason why I said that the safest place to be to understand the process of salvation is to hold on to the apostolic doctrines. Not the doctrines of your church. Not the doctrines of your Jew. That's why Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, he made it clear. He said, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles. Hallelujah. Anything you will do contrary to what they taught us, Apostle Paul was so sure in Galatians chapter 1. He said, let that person be accursed. So certain. There are things that they knew. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There are things that there is a way the scripture put it. See the way he put it. The beginning of Luke chapter 1. This is the way he put it. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. He said, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning we are eyewitnesses and ministers of the world. He said, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, the certainty of the things that he had them from eyewitnesses. They were with Jesus. They ate with him. They slept with him. One, John, was always putting his head. He loved Jesus so much until he was Jesus' baby. He would put his head on his chest and lie down and sleep. He is the one. They are among those that have put these scriptures for us. The safest place for you, therefore, to be is hold this Bible. That's what William Branham says. Even he himself, that anything he says that is contrary to this Bible, he said, up his own and hold unto that of the Bible. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I was reading Matthew chapter 13. I don't know if I finished reading that. This is what he said. Verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Now see his answer. He answered and said unto them, because, amen. He said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. That's very deep there. That's very deep. Why are you confusing them in your messages like that? But when you come, you always explain it to us. He said, you, my disciples, say, unto you, because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom. Who gave it unto them to know the mystery? It's God. Praise the Lord. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It means he also knows those that are not his, but they are busy following him. Hallelujah. And so, now, because salvation is not for all, God himself designed it in a way that only his own will understand. Therefore, in the scriptures, he hid things that pertain to salvation in there. I told you the scripture that Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, how that from the time he was a child, that he has known the holy scriptures, which is able to make him wise unto salvation. That he has from a child, because he brought him up. The emphasis that Apostle Paul was always teaching Timothy was not just anointing and cast out devils and see vision. No, he was teaching him the things that pertain to salvation. There are people that go to church and they know nothing about salvation. Nothing. Sometime on Tuesday, I will tell people to stand up and I will ask them during our Tuesday program here, if you have not been baptized, please stand up, but you are a Christian. And then you see many people will stand up. And I will ask, which church? They will mention their church. How long have you been there? Some have been there for 4 years. But you have not been baptized. He said, I have not been baptized. So what are they telling you in that church? But you pay your tithe regularly, isn't it? Yes. You make vows regularly, isn't it? And they remind you every time to pay it, isn't it? Yes. Praise the Lord. Now, there are scriptures for prosperity. That's why you are paying your tithe. That's why you are giving your offerings. But there is nothing in prosperity that has any salvational virtue. There's nothing in the doctrine of prosperity that can make you wise unto salvation. Because prosperity does not affect the soul. So if any man says God has made him a specialist in raising financial giants, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God for that. I believe in prosperity. Amen. But I will only have regards to that your commission if you have also, following that commission, something that can affect the soul of the people. If not, I will doubt if you truly had a voice. Because what shall it profit a man if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul? And people are going to church, and the first step, the first work of grace, the first work of grace, which is justification, which is demonstrated by water baptism, 4 years you are in a church and you have known nothing about it. And you are waiting for rapture. You are waiting for rapture. And yet your sins have not been remitted. Who told you any sinner will go in the rapture? And every human being is a sinner. Every human being, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. All. None. All. Praise the Lord. And without the shedding of blood, that your sin can never be remitted. And for that sin to be remitted, God sent his only begotten Son to the cross of Calvary. And shed the blood for our sins to be remitted. You are not a Christian until you position yourself for the blood of the Lamb to speak for you. The accuser of the brethren, according to Revelation chapter 12, was overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And that blood of the Lamb was shed on the cross of Calvary. And that blood speaks for you only through your repentance and going into that water and coming out. And yet, they have not bothered to tell you. And then you every time, let's sing. When you come to collect your people, remember me, O Lord. I will see Jesus someday. Where are you going to see him? In the judgment or in the rapture? Praise the Lord. You know, all I want to achieve by all these comments I'm passing is to make somebody suddenly realize that, come on, make her not play with my eternal destination. That is what Apostle Peter ended up in 2 Peter chapter 1, where he said, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Why did he say so? Because many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. But the interesting thing I want to call your attention, why you have to study. And you don't study like an academic thing. You study it, you study prayerfully. Because no matter how you study, except God grants you understanding, you will never understand. You will never understand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you something, church. There's a statement that we make. In this age that we are in, God sent to the church the ministry of restoration through the ministry of the man William Marion Braham. Listen, church. And those of us that God opened our eyes to see the importance of that ministry, we make bold to say it regularly here that if you are not part of this message that William Branham, that God brought through William Branham, you will never make the rapture. Let me tell you why. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you why. The answer is very simple. The reason is very simple. Through that ministry, God released an anointing, released the spirit of understanding. Praise the Lord. Do you know that anyone that rejected John the Baptist did not recognize Jesus Christ? Do you understand that? Only those who ran to John the Baptist and were baptized, they accepted what he was saying. He was telling them of somebody that was to come. While Pharisees were saying, who is this? Until they pushed and they killed him. None of them could see Jesus. There were those that crucified Jesus. But as many as followed John the Baptist, they fell in love with Jesus Christ. Why? Because John pointed them to Jesus. This is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Praise the Lord. His disciples were following him one day. Two disciples were following Jesus, John. And quickly he made that statement. The Bible says they turned immediately and began to follow Jesus. If they did not believe John, they would not have followed him. Praise the Lord. And the same anointing that John the Baptist came with is the same anointing that was released on William Marion Braham. The same setting of the church that we are in now that necessitated the restoration ministry was the same setting of Israel that necessitated the ministry of John. and the ministry of Apostle John the Baptist, and the ministry of William Branham, the two ministries, they are the ones in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. John the Baptist fulfilled it before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, first coming. William Branham fulfilled the second part before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the father to the children. Listen, behold, I sent before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Before the coming of the great. Can you screen that verse for them to see? Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. There are 2 days. There is the great day of the Lord, and there is the dreadful day of the Lord. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send you Elijah the prophet. And the great day of the Lord is the day that Christ came and went to the cross on Calvary and offered salvation to us. We are still in that great day. Before that great day came, the great day came with the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. To offer salvation to all of us. That is the great day. It's a day that he is saving. And that day is still on now. But before that day will come, he will send Elijah the prophet. And the dreadful day of the Lord is the day that Christ will come to judge this earth, known as the day of the Lord. And the Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. It says, woe to you that desire the day of the Lord. It is a day of judgment. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But God is so merciful. Before that dreadful day will come, he will also send Elijah. The Elijah anointing comes 2 times. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I will still take that again for those who are new. I will show you scripture. How that John the Baptist fulfilled one part and stopped. And that the other part must be fulfilled. And that before our eyes, that part was fulfilled through the ministry of William Marion Brown. Like Pharisees and Sadducees, the denominations of that time rejected John the Baptist. The same denominations and their leaders in this age rejecting that same ministry of William Marion Brown, vindicated by the Elijah anointing. Now, I say, now, with the ushering in of that ministry, God also released the spirit of understanding. If you reject the ministry, you will never get understanding. That's why I say, if you reject the prophet's message, you will never make the rapture. Because the spirit that will grant understanding, you have rejected it. That's why none of them that have spoken against the ministry of William Branham, none of them can understand the simple doctrine of water baptism. God himself closed their eyes to it. Go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And all of them own doctorate degrees. The name of the Father. Father na name. Son na name. Holy Ghost na name. In the name of the Father. Then they take you into the water. According to Matthew 28 verse 19. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, according to Matthew 28 verse 19. They put you inside the water and bring you out. Have they baptized in the name? Are you afraid to answer me? Every father has a name. Our heavenly father has a name. The son has a name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But why are they not able to know it? It's because they rejected the medium that brought that understanding. The spirit, the anointing, the grace that brought that understanding. You rejected it. And that's why Ichabod is written against them. Glory departed. I'm so privileged that God opened my eyes to see what He's doing in this age. Praise the Lord. I'm building a background to what I want to say. I have not brought out what I want to say. If I don't say these things, you will understand what I want to say. I won't finish what I want to say today so that we can have time to pray. But I will leave a good background. That even if you don't come here next Friday or on Sunday, we are continue the message. But you will have something to think about concerning your eternal destination. That's all I want to achieve. I want you to note that salvation is more than going to church. And it's more than saying after the pastor in an altar call. It's more than a confession. It's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He hid it in mystery. Hide it. See, two scriptures in the Bible. John 14 verse 6 says, and that is concerning every other religion on earth. What did he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh to the Father except by me. But by me. So, if you are trying to get to the creator of the heavens and the earth, out of Jesus Christ, you will never meet with God. And that's a hard say, isn't it? That's a hard say. But that is the truth. Praise the Lord. In John chapter 4, that's the second place I'm going. He met that woman at the well. Samaritans and the Jews, they are always arguing about place of worship. So he met this Samaritan woman by the well. And the first thing that woman will tell them is, hey, you Jew, you come and ask me for water. And she say, we will not they worship at the same temple with you. We will they worship for deeper life. You they worship for Catholic. You worship in Jerusalem. We worship in that mountain. And Jesus Christ turned and looked at him and say, the hour has come. Praise the Lord. We are the true worshippers. We never worship in any temple, anywhere. Whether Jerusalem or any mountain. He said, the hour has come. We are the true worshippers. Where will they worship him? In spirit and in truth. So that means it's not enough that you say you're a Christian. Hallelujah. The condition for you to worship and be accepted, number one, you must worship in the spirit. It means there is a carnal way of worshiping also. There's a carnal way of worshiping. And watch the television and you will see them. You will see them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Go and see how Christianity has been bastardized. Come and see people they call gospel musicians. I have seen a preacher that is preaching and he's wearing earrings. A man. Yes. I have seen one that has put tattoo all over his body and he didn't cover it. And he's preaching. And the mystery about it is that come and see miracles, signs and wonders happening. Yes, God is good. Yes, God is good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, now. Now, so, it also means that you can worship God in error. So he said, you must, true worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth. So you can be holding this Bible, yet you are worshipping God in error. Or you are worshipping him in the flesh. The two must be together, in spirit and in truth. What does it mean to worship God in the spirit? It is to allow the liberty of the spirit. To be led by the Holy Ghost. But there are churches that are not led by the Holy Ghost. Because they have branches, and it is only what the GO says you should preach that you will preach. Do you understand now? Praise the Lord. Do you understand? Oh, you can argue, but is it not the Holy Ghost that gave him those sermons to preach? I can tell you that it is not the Holy Ghost. Why do I know? Praise the Lord. Every gathering in every locality has their need for that moment. And the unity of faith is not achieved by us preaching the same sermon on a particular day all over the world. That is not what we use to achieve the unity of the faith. No. Praise the Lord. I know you theologians, you will fault me on it. But I'm telling you, if you will fault me by the Bible, you will discover you are wrong. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm preaching like this because I know the whole world, they are watching us. They are watching us. And I know some Jews will be listening to us. They are always listening to us. I am not yapping you. Praise the Lord. I am telling you, come back to the Bible. So that two of us can flow together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh yes, that is the truth. That's the truth. So that you can understand why it is needful for you to study and show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed. If you are not ashamed, you will become bold. Why do I preach boldly? Because I know whatever I'm saying has a Bible base. And I know what you are doing in your denomination. Many of those things have no Bible base. Many of them run contrary to the scripture. The Bible forbids a woman to be a pastor. You are ordaining woman pastor in your ministry. It is wrong. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, freely we have received the grace, freely we should minister the gift. But you are charging people before you pray for them. You are wrong. You are wrong. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, hear all ye Israel, the first commandment is what? The Lord your God, he is Trinity. God is not three persons in one God. There's no mystery like that. Nothing like that. Hear all ye Israel. Verse 4 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Lord your God, he is one Lord. When he came to the Gentiles, they scattered him into three. You know you can't preach Trinity to a Jew. It's not three persons in one God. It's one God in three offices for our redemption. Study very well. That is what you will see. The same God the Father came in his Son. That's why he's Emmanuel. God with us. For the purpose of redemption. To fulfill the kinsman redeemer principle. To save man. And when he finished, he went back. To come back again for the second work of dwelling in those that he has purchased as the Holy Ghost. The same God that was in his Son, now in his children, in his church. Praise the Lord. And he remained the Father forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One God in three offices of the Father, in the Son, and in his church as the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise. Study very well. That is what you will see. Study very well. You will see that even in the old temple, in the Old Testament temple, there was no woman priestess that will go to the altar to minister. It's no coincidence that among 12 disciples, Jesus did not add one woman on top. And even when Judas went, they did not replace Judas with a woman. And there is nowhere in the Bible that any woman was ordained. Apostle Paul says, let the woman learn in silence, in subjection. He said, permit not the woman to teach, not to usurp authority over the man. To teach is to teach in the church. Praise the Lord. Amen. Did you say I should prophesy? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There is one secret, one key rather, that the Lord gave us to understand. Hallelujah. Listen, every story in the Old Testament, every story, let's open Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and verse 17. Screen it for us if you can. He said, let no man therefore judge you. This is Apostle Paul. Now that we are in grace, he's talking to the Jews who have now accepted Jesus Christ from the law, letting them know, understand what the new covenant is all about. He says, let no man therefore judge you in what you eat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, verse 17. What are all those things? He said, they are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. That's why Christ said, I did not come to destroy the law. He said, I came to fulfill the law. Praise the Lord. For the law spoke, everything you see in the Old Testament was pointing to him. He was the very image of that shadow of the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. Now, if you, that verse alone, if you will take time and let it guide you and lead you, it means every ordinance you see in the Old Testament is speaking something about Christ or Christ and his church. Right from the first problem in the Garden of Eden. Praise the Lord. So that you'll understand why Christ is referred to as the last Adam. Christ is referred to as the last Adam. There is the first Adam. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why did he say we must be born again? Amen. There is a physical birth and there is a spiritual birth. And all of us must be born by Adam. God ordained that the first creation he will make will be kickstarted by Adam. Praise the Lord. It will be kickstarted by Adam. He ordained it like that, the first creation of man. So when the second creation of man, because the first creation of man died, so the second creation of man also, hallelujah, must be by another Adam. Now, so that you'll understand, let me just use it. It runs from Genesis until the last book there, Malachi. So that you'll understand, let me just use this one to help you so that this Bible will be interesting to you. Because you will be reading it and you will be seeing Christ in every story you read. You will see Christ in the church. You either see Christ himself or you see the church. Or you see Christ and the church in every story. Every story. Every major story you see there. It's so interesting, church. Including all the ordinances. All these Sabbaths. All these celebrations that they used to have. All these first fruits. All this wave offering and all those things, including even what he did before they would leave Egypt. The last plague was the killing of the firstborn of Egypt. Even including it, there was a lamb that they were to kill. And you had to apply the blood somewhere. And when the angel of death will see that blood, it will pass over. He's speaking about the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Do you know in the Garden of Eden where I was saying, do you know we had Adam, and Adam could only reproduce himself if he's given a wife? Where was his wife taken from? From his side. After he was put to sleep. Do you know the church of Jesus Christ is called the bride of Jesus Christ? Who is the bridegroom? Jesus. Do you know he too was put to death on the cross on Calvary, and a Roman soldier pierced his side for the new birth to begin? What and what came out of his side? Blood and what? And water. To give birth to you and I. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you know that the family in the Garden of Eden was a type of the church of Jesus Christ? Do you know, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you know that the serpent was a minister of Satan? Do you know the Satan that inspired him to go and tempt Eve? Blessed be the name of the Lord. With what? With a false doctrine. To misinterpret the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says, no marvel, Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light. And that he has ministers. Satan has ministers. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you know that Eve is a type of the church? How that? Amen. Listen, church. Eve had a womb. Inside her womb, praise the Lord, her womb was a place where seed could be planted. Amen. Adam planted his own seed in that same womb. The serpent came into that same womb and planted his own. So that womb produced two children in that family, isn't it? Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's a type of the Lord of the church of Jesus Christ. In the church, we have two groups of people. Jesus Christ used in the parable of Matthew chapter 13, wheat and tares. He used it as a parable that the owner of the farm went and planted good seed. But while men slept, the enemy went and planted his own. If Adam were around, would that animal, would he be able to sleep with Eve? I'm sure he sneaked and did it when Adam was not around. And before you know what, when they grew up, by their fruits, we shall know them. Everything in the Garden of Eden is speaking about the church of Jesus Christ. You have to, you can't, you know, go, you see the book of Ruth? The book of Ruth let us know how God himself had to come down in human form for the kinsman redeemer. That is where we know that Jesus was God come in the flesh. And why did he come in the flesh? I preached the message that I titled, Why the Virgin Birth? Why did he come through the virgin birth? Try to get a copy. Listen to it. It's all, everything. Everything you see there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Everything you see in the Old Testament. What of the story of Esther? It's the story of the bride of Jesus Christ. Queen Vashti. And King Ahasuerus. The king made a feast. That is the book of Esther. The first two or three chapters. Made a feast and was coming to show off his queen. And she made a hangar. Now, that story there is the story of Israel. The king there is a type of the Lord God Almighty. that came and packaged his process of salvation to show off for his people. But they turned him down. And because they rejected him, the king, Ahasuerus, now made a proclamation to put Queen Vashti away and then let them look for a replacement of that queen. And that is a replacement of the queen that has been going on since AD 70. I say AD 70. Praise the Lord. When they were put aside and scattered. And the gospel came to us in Acts chapter 13. Praise the Lord. Apostle Paul told them, the gospel was meant for you. But since you have counted yourself unworthy, he said, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. And listen, and they are going to select a queen that will replace Vashti. And, but the process of selecting that queen, there is a process. The king has specialists that he has trained to produce, to get him the queen. They are called the chamberlains. And there is an identification of a chamberlain. It's not everybody that can be a chamberlain. Number one, that chamberlain must be a eunuch. Even that has a deep meaning. Who is a eunuch? A eunuch is one that does not have the ability to pregnant another woman. Why must it be that? Because he is going to be saddled with the responsibility of preparing the queen. So that in the course of preparing the queen, he not go chop. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And in the right hand of Jesus Christ, in Revelation chapter 1 verse 16, seven stars in his right hand. They are a type of the chamberlain. Because the gospel was going to come to the Gentiles after the Jews rejected him. Him, God, decided that it will take through seven church ages. Every age, he will pick a bride for himself in that age. And every age, therefore, had one chamberlain, one star messenger, that would put the age for that age, the bride for that age. And we are now in the seventh church age. That is why Revelation chapter 10 verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, he said the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. Seven church ages, seven church age messengers. Praise the Lord. Starting from Apostle Paul, the first church age. And all the historians, they know it. But when it comes to our last age here, they refuse to accept William Branham. And when we tell them, okay, who replaces William Branham? They have no substitute. And they cannot accept him. Because in accepting him, you have to accept his teachings that will pull down all the nonsense they have been doing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They will acknowledge him. Every preacher, they will tell you that that is the man that God has used the greatest in this age. They will speak of how great the anointing was. But when it comes to the doctrine, because the doctrine, you know, punches them and things like that, you hear them say, oh, God gave him the ministry for healing. But instead of him to go into, he started going into teaching. His ministry is not teaching. Then he began to say things that he shouldn't say. And God got angry with him and killed him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But what they reject, hallelujah, is what some of us are rejoicing with. God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord. For the
We are the Word made flesh today.
We are the Word made flesh today. This is what the Scripture said. And our names are seen within. Within and perfect without sin. Yes, we are anointed and inspired by our God.
We are called unto adoption,
full authority of God. Sleep the saints, we wake and join us for translation in this hour. Gentleness soon be over. Glory, hallelujah, to our God.
Oh, it's original.
Oh,
there is a land beyond the river that we call the sea
forever.
And we only reach that shore by fair decree.
One by one,
one by one, we gain the portal there to dwell with the immortal. When the ring, the gold is left for you and me. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Hey, don't you hear the bells are ringing? Shine, the gold is there.
Say, say,
oh, don't you hear?
Bells are ringing.
Oh,
don't you hear the angels sing? It's a glory, hallelujah, jubilee.
In the far of sweet forever,
just
be on
the side.
When the ring,
the gold is there.
Say one more time, one more time. Oh, don't you hear?
Don't you hear the bells are ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing?
It's a glory, hallelujah,
jubilee. In a far, in a far, the sweet forever. Just the other side of the back.
When the ring, the glory bells for you and me. In this, that closing
gates of God.
Glorious hope of God.
Yes, sir.
The soul of us to supply. Oh, we shall reign, King of kings and Lord of lords.
Oh,
he's coming soon.
He's coming
soon.
He's coming soon.
We joy. We welcome his return. It may be morning, it may be night,
but
oh, we know
his glory is
the signs around.
The signs around in heaven,
authentic on the starry sky.
Yes, sir.
God's faithful witness is declared.
Return.
It may be mine, it may be help me.
I know there is another fellowship in heaven.
Do you know there is another fellowship in heaven?
I know there is another fellowship in heaven.
I said, do you know there is another fellowship in heaven?
I know.
My hope,
I'm just a prostitute. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels take on me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Everybody now,
oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. In heaven is not my own. From heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
I will see Jesus
someday, one time in a day.
I will see Jesus.
Hallelujah. Be seated one moment. Certainly, this world is not our home. That song says, don't you hear the bells are now ringing? He says, a glory, hallelujah, jubilee. Hallelujah. It's a jubilee. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When we say we have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message, 7 is God's number for perfection. After 7, we are entering eternity. 7 church ages, 7 chamberlains, 7 star messengers. Praise the Lord. 7 spirits of the Lord. 7, 7, 7. But in the days of the voice of the 7th angel, to the man's message, in this age, he is getting his bride. Hallelujah. They see us, they say we are false. They are using their denominational standard to judge what we are saying. If they will take time and judge what we are saying, when I say we, I'm talking about followers of that message. Amen. There is a message. Watch the television and tell me if these people have any message to give. Are you mad? Running without a message. False prophets are lying. God's truth they are denying. That Jesus is our God. Though this generation false God's revelation, we walk where the apostles have told. Hallelujah. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps dim and clear. Look on the redemption.
God is good. All that you hear today, God is good. That's the message. Ahimaaz ran to David. Nobody send him up. He said, me too, I will go. Which tidings are you going to tell the king? His son is dead. You cannot deliver such a message. The one they go send, go, you run. Run so that you overtake him. You reach finish. Ahimaaz, what are the good tidings? What did he say? All is well. That's his message. King Pekin died. You say all is well. Earthquakes everywhere. You say all is well. Hunger everywhere. You say all is well. Confusion everywhere. Suicide bombers everywhere. Armed robbers everywhere. Kidnappers everywhere. Hallelujah. These are of you to tell the people where they should go. Where should they go? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, they don't know the value of the cross anymore. I tell you, when I preach the symbol of our faith, the cross as the symbol of our faith, I told you, I emphasize that the cross of Jesus Christ was not a piece of furniture. It was not. It was a rugged cross. It was wood. They just cut wood from the bush. And then, remember, it is a costing for you to be hung on the cross. So they will not make a carpenter come and beautify any cross. A proper revelation, if you will hang any cross in the church, you should make it look very rugged. So I cherish that old rugged cross. Till my trumpet at last I let rise. Yes, sir. I will cling to that old rugged cross. I will stand the soldiers for a crown. My heart shall sing when I first to remember a heartache here is not a stepping stone. How long that dread that's waiting always upward. This love war is not my final but ultimate. My heart will go on singing, oh, until then. Oh, we try to carry on, oh, until the day. My eyes will always sing, oh, until the day. Sisters, let me hear the brother. Oh, auntie there. Brothers! somebody.
But until then, my heart is going to be.
Oh,
until then, we try to die on.
Oh,
until then, my heart is going to be. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to bless and make me fully whole.
Yes, sir.
In sorrow, in sorrow,
is I comfort.
In trouble, in pain,
he
tells me every care. In temptation, he's a strong and mighty tower. I am all for him forsaken, and all my idols come from my heart. And now he keeps me by his power.
Yes, sir.
Though all the world forsake me, I say, thanks me so.
Hallelujah!
My
heart, rest in peace. Yes, sir. I dare not trust
that he is there,
but verily,
of Jesus' name,
all praise
the Lord,
leave
our hands all on the ground, we see it the Lord. Worship him.
So sinful world,
Unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Fruit of delusion. They told you it doesn't matter. It matters.
There is yet another day that is His mercy is still available.
The trials of the Christian.
Christians face trials.
The God of this world cannot be our God because we are in this world but not of this world.